Hey, it's Valentine's Day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I love the fit.
With guest host, Susie Schuster.
I love it.
You do.
I love it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
How best to describe how the Niners are processing everything?
I'd never been in a more devastated locker room. And that's saying something because I've covered this team for several years now.
Today's guests, veteran NBA reporter Howard Beck, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. And now, it's Susie Schuster.
And what better way to say happy Valentine's Day than to sit in for your husband on Valentine's Day who's home throwing up. Hi, everybody. Susie Schuster here with you. Rich is home. He's on the IR. We're going to sit him as a sideline reporter. Hey, listen, you got to have a sense of humor with this. And by the way, you know what I was thinking as the show was starting?
What's that?
This is so fun. Like, look at what we get to do. Yeah, this is so fun. Totally. I still think it's fun after all these years. Hey, everybody. Sideline reporter Susie Schuster here to tell you an update on Rich Eisen, who is home and sideline for the week, you guys. Guys, Rich will be home and staying rested. He'll be getting plenty of IVs and fluids, and hopefully we'll be back for the show on Monday. Guys, still got it. Just saying.
Back to
still
you.
Got it. Back to you, TJ.
Back
Hi,
to
TJ.
You guys in the booth.
What's up, Susie? How you doing?
How are you? Good to see
I'm
you.
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah? Yeah? I brought you donuts.
I saw that. I appreciate you.
We got Kurt Warner in. I'm excited to have him calling in and zooming in. Howard Beck is actually going to be with us shortly.
Talk some hoops.
Yeah, little hoops. Celtics looked pretty good last night, huh?
I mean, we're the best team of the league, like, by far.
Anyway.
You like them apples, Slappy?
Not even close.
I mean, how can you even...
Tatum had 31 at the half, and it was like, all right, this game's over.
Tatum's release is so silly. It was so much fun to watch him. It's just a beautiful watch. It was pretty great.
No one talks about him as being one of the best players in the league, but that's fine.
Well, not like everyone's talking about Curry. Is he the top five of all time? Like, yeah, we already know that. Hello, people. I mean, hello.
Top five all time.
That's pretty good.
That's kind of fun.
That's a bold statement.
Top 10, maybe.
I want to ask Howard Beck about all the rumors now about sources. Sources saying that the Warriors went shopping for LeBron. I mean, come on.
That's bold. I love it.
Bold. I like a bold statement like that. So we've got that. Who else do we have on the show today? We've got
Kurt.
We've got Kurt at 10. He's going to be
Kurt's
right
probably
at the
watching
top.
Tape. Let's break down the Super Bowl a little bit. Still Wednesday. Parade today.
That's exactly right. So, this is the day the Chiefs get wasted. Let's see what happens if anybody throws a trophy a la Tom Brady. Was it last year or
4 years ago, that Kelsey was wearing this like $20,000 Louis coat.
Oh, that's
and
right.
It just got absolutely beer drenched.
Yep.
And then we asked him about what the dry cleaning bill was, or Rich texted him.
Yeah.
And then what's going to happen when the Kelseys play together next year?
That's
it's
going to
be amazing.
I'm trying to get this going. I don't know. I haven't really heard it anywhere else. I was trying to get this going on Overreaction Monday podcast, where you get your podcasts, and on our YouTube channel. That Jason has yet to announce a retirement. Doesn't really know what he's doing yet.
Let me ask you a question, Chris.
A lot of rumors. Go to KC. Play with your brother.
Let me ask you a question, Chris. If you said it on Overreaction Monday, and I heard it on Overreaction Monday, are you a source? Can I say sources tell
yes,
me?
Yes, absolutely.
That Jason Kelce is contemplating joining his brother Travis.
So we're really going for it.
For a three-peat attempt next year. You heard it here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I would say,
back to you, Chris.
What is it? The JLM and Duh, Adove, and all the football aggregators? We're not reporting that. I'm literally just trying to get that going as a rumor.
And like, I like it.
I think it would be awesome.
As I said earlier in the week, I guess to jumpstart what he said, I'm looking at him during the trophy presentation. He's standing there, confetti falling. He's got that look on his face. He's like, I want that again. And maybe he wants it with his brother.
I'm totally into it. Let's go with it. Let's go with it. Sources tell us.
I know that you hate them, TJ.
Well, they hate me. So
they have been so close. He has been there on the sideline watching his brother celebrate. Just a year ago.
And think about this.
Why wouldn't you want to? Why wouldn't you want to try to win one?
Think about what it would do for Miss Dawn and Kelsey's wardrobe. No more split jerseys. She could just go with one, maybe two numbers front and back. She wouldn't have to do the half and half. So, you know.
I know in the friendly, Kelsey's wouldn't have to split who goes where.
Yeah, exactly.
You get one or two suites next to each other. Taylor can hang out in one. It'd be great.
Oh, they're definitely sharing a room, though, those two.
all of Jason's kids and the other one.
You mean the Kelce brothers are sharing
the room? Oh, yeah, they're sharing the room. And then, you know, Kylie and Taylor and the kids, they go into the adjoining room.
I think it's a great story. I think if you told me and I told you, that's two sources. This is basically happening.
So we've two-sourced this.
Yeah. Let's by the way, if this actually happens, we own this story.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
But don't aggregate us. We're not reporting it.
Well,
I'm just going to predict it.
Dispel your name right. Well,
don't you have the off-season script over there? You had the 2023 season script.
That came to fruition.
You nailed it every step of the way, week in and week out. Everything just came true.
I mean, it was
written down on paper. Okay, what's the off-season script look like?
I haven't checked my mail yesterday. Right. I didn't go to the mail room, but I'm pretty sure it's in there. I got an alert that mail had been delivered.
All right, good.
Did you get Sarah Valentine?
I did. See, here's the deal.
Oh, God.
Never good. Never good when it starts with, last year,
I kind of fumbled the bag a little bit.
Wow. How so, Chris?
And I had to make a super last-minute resi. Liz actually babysat, and it was kind of a situation.
That's right.
This year, I planned 2 weeks out. We're going a veteran move. We're going to dinner tomorrow. Amateurs go out on Valentine's Day. The real pros go the day after.
Because you couldn't get a res? Is that what it is?
No, I wanted to go to this one spot.
And you couldn't get
and
in.
It was closed. So we're going tomorrow.
Where are you going?
I was just, you know.
Did you get her a present or flowers?
Town.
Did you get a card?
Well,
did you make
one? She's probably
one?
Listening.
So?
She knows. I go to the same flower spot every year. I love it. I go there. Got to get the cupcakes.
Dude, you're such a rook. Name the place. You might get a nice deal.
No, they're not sponsoring anything.
They might after you say it.
So I'm not
dummy.
Out.
Dummy.
I'm not gonna
you
drop
might
it.
Get a discount
no,
if you
not,
like.
They're yeah. not paying for anything.
Dummy. Yeah.
You
you're
guys
like,
are
you're
amateurs.
Like Amy Trask.
You don't
like
drop
Amy
names.
Won't say anything.
You don't drop names unless they're buying already.
See, that's what Amy says
that's
too.
True,
Amy
though,
says
Chris.
If you're not. Well, if you're not going to sponsor.
You know who I'm going to back with? The lawyer.
Well.
Okay, well, then I can't argue that.
And you guys can't argue that, all right?
By the way, speaking of Amy Trask, the great Amy Trask, what the football, we had Jim Nance yesterday on. If you want to download that podcast, wherever you find your podcast or check it out on YouTube, he was fantastic, and it was the first time he'd spoken since the Super Bowl. So please check out What the Football. Back to you, Chris.
Back to me.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
You're
not fumbling the ball on Valentine's Day.
Anyway, I planned ahead.
Uh-huh.
We're good to go.
Yeah?
I feel great about it. However, I did order something, and it was a little bit smaller than I wanted.
Uh-oh.
So I had to return it,
uh-oh.
Reorder.
Uh-oh.
But I paid for the expedited shipping, so hopefully it should be here.
By when? Tomorrow?
Yeah, a couple days.
It's Coop's birthday tomorrow. Don't forget.
Coopy Coop.
Yep.
What do we got?
Don't forget.
13?
Yeah. Big 13.
Nice. Mitzvah coming up. Excited.
Big mitzvah.
What do you wear to those things?
You wear a really cute outfit.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Dress up nice, though, right?
Dress up nice.
All right, I'm going to.
You better. Dress up nice, Slappy.
What's the gift situation for one of these things?
You're supposed to either give a gift that...
It's in multiples of what?
Of 18, which
of
18. Is high, which is
but
for
why
life.
Is it why is it 18 if they're turning 13?
I don't know. Ask the Jews. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, I am asking.
I don't know,
I'm literally asking one.
You are, but it could be like a wrong one. Oops. Do you know what? I think it's like, because I think Chai is 18, and I think that's life, and so it's like traditional.
Sold me.
How's this sports show going?
It's great.
TJ, did you get your mom a Valentine's
Day? Wednesday.
I didn't.
Well, it's not too late.
But you're her boy.
I got to be honest, despite the fact that I'm wearing a Shawn Michaels t-shirt with a heart on it.
Heartbreak Kid.
I completely forgot this today was Valentine's
what?
Day when
you
I got
did?
Dressed. I wasn't thinking about it when I pulled this shirt out the dresser. I just put it on.
I randomly put on
a shirt of the Heartbreak Kid
yes,
on
and,
Valentine's
and
Day?
I didn't think about it until I looked in the monitor and I was like, oh, crap, I have a heart on. And it had nothing to do with it. It was just like there and I picked it
all
up.
Right, here's
and it
the deal.
Matched my sneakers. So I put it on.
Here's the deal. And life advice.
It's wait. Let's all stop down and listen to life advice from Chris Brockman. Yes, Chris?
Your mom still lives in Altoona, right?
Yeah.
In the break, call the local florist at Altoona.
She might be
get
watching,
get some stuff
bro.
Delivered.
I might be on the website right now.
There you go.
Yeah, you are.
Good job. Boy.
Nice job.
Throw in the box of hot chocolates.
Mikey, any Valentine's plans for you, babe?
I'm going out to dinner.
he said that like he couldn't wait for you to
with
ask.
With who?
No. I am quiet about it.
You have a date?
Except when you post it on Instagram.
Yeah. But I won't.
Or except tonight. When you talk about it pre-show
right.
for like an hour.
I
this
won't
is
be
so exciting.
Yeah, I'm quiet. I keep it quiet.
I got up this morning.
I can't, not my life. My that life. I don't.
I'm excited for you.
Selfies are different. Thank you, Susan.
I wish I was in the seat tomorrow, but I think it's Siciliano, and maybe he'll ask about your Valentine's evening.
Right. Yeah.
Just know that I care.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
No.
I got up this morning, 5:30. I quietly put my Valentine's in front of all the kids' doors, slipped a couple, you know, like a little candy with some golden retrievers on them. Nice. I left a Valentine for Rich. He said he liked his card. He finally got up after sleeping for 36 hours, which is wonderful news. He needed it. But here's our Valentine's Day plan tonight. I'm sleeping in my office.
Oh.
I'm not going near a flu. I had COVID like 2 weeks ago, a week ago. I mean, Coop, by the way, like he had tennis tryouts with COVID. He did great. So I'm just saying my Valentine's Day is maybe a pizza delivery. That's all I have to say. So Jason Tatum dropped a lot for Valentine's Day. He looked pretty great.
He's great.
So we will talk to Howard Beck about the NBA shortly. Looking forward to that as well. And yeah, yesterday was the day that the Niners broke down and talked about all of their disappointment with the Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan was asked about whether or not his players were prepared for overtime. And here's what he had to say.
Was it important, do you think, for the players to know the new rule as it pertains to overtime in the playoffs?
Well, yeah, I mean, we did say, I mean, we told everyone as we were waiting for the coin toss, hey, review everyone with them, make sure they're sure before we go out. So we asked the position coach to do that, but I didn't cover it in a meeting on the Super Bowl week. I don't think that changes anything. We did it with our analytics department. We decided that going into the playoffs. What, you know, I think you guys know how I've explained how I make decisions with that stuff in the past. I take all the information I can get, especially ones I haven't been in. And our analytics felt that was the best way to go. But as you guys know, I don't always just go with that. I take into account what they say, what they think is right, and then I go off my gut in the heat of battle. And I knew what they felt going into it. And when I think about that during the moments I have to make the decision, I think the type of game it was did match what they felt was the best way to do. It did seem more like a field goal game. And our defense had been out there for a real long time right before that. So I didn't feel at all to override that at the time.
I actually talked about that with Jim Nance yesterday on What the Football. He did notice that defense did look gassed. Let's keep rolling with this sound and hear from him on the notion that he can't perform in big games.
I mean, you'd love to fix perception because I would love to win one for what I know about football and stuff. And I know if I fixed perception, that means I did everything I wanted to do, which isn't fixed perception. It's win a damn Super Bowl. But I also know, like, when you say big games, like, we've got to win a bunch of big games to get to Super Bowls. We've won a lot of big games here. We've won a lot of big games to get into playoffs. The fact that we keep getting there shows you guys how much we've been win games or big games. And I think you guys are aware of that. But it's, you know, these two Super Bowls, I've been tough losing to Kansas City, but to think that if we win that, that means I can win a big game. No, that means our team won the Super Bowl. That's what I understand. You guys can have any narrative you want, but like the success or the failure, it comes down to one game. And I hope that I can be a part of a team that wins a game at the end of the year. But to say that the Niners can't win a big game would be an extremely inaccurate statement.
Well, inaccurate, but they lost the big game.
Twice, and he was part of the Falcons 28-3. It's too bad that kind of this is the narrative on this guy, but it is what it is. He's such a great coach and a great offensive mind. We've kind of seen with what he's done with San Francisco. One seed in the NFC, a lot of big games. They were trailing in the playoff games, came back and won those. You've seen this on social media a lot this week, and I think it's pretty accurate. He's kind of in the Andy Reid Eagles head coach stage of his career. Remember, Andy Reid went to all those NFC championship games in a row, lost the one Super Bowl to the Patriots, and he was there for a long time and had a lot of success, and then kind of flamed out and went to KC, and now they're one of the 10 great dynasties in NFL history. So I think it's coming for Kyle Shanahan. I like to have fun kind of ripping on him, his big game stuff, but I do believe he's going to win a Super Bowl someday. And it's going to be a great moment when he does. He's only 44, so he's got 25 years left of his coaching career, and I have no doubts that he's going to win the big one.
I mean, you have to think when he goes to bed at night, he has nightmares that involve Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady.
Yeah, without question.
I mean, think about it. We're asking him to win these games, which, of course, no team is two players, right? We're not talking about we get it. But this one is going to be a hard one. And for him to say, like, this game I thought was the field goal, I mean, I said this yesterday, you never put yourself in a position, and nobody ever did with Tom Brady, to leave him with any time on the clock. Yeah. I understand the rules, you're going for sudden death. But don't you think you gotta stab the dagger when you can?
Yeah, and you think about the what-ifs on Sunday, TJ. You talk about a punt hits the heel of the 49er blocking for the return. That leads to a Chiefs touchdown. It's just kind of, you know.
That 1 point.
Game of inches, the blocked extra point. A lot of things that went against the Niners that went for the Chiefs, and that's kind of the difference in you know, you're a bum or you're a greatest of all time.
Well, first and foremost, you kind of drive the train on the Shanahan.
It's fun. Niners fans are really sensitive, so it's kind of fun to just kind of wind them up.
Yeah. Also, Susie, though, you said he's having nightmares about Mahomes and Brady. Well, that's kind of understandable. That's like having nightmares about Jordan and Kobe. Like, it's not like Jeff Hostetler and Trent Dilfer, all due respect, were the quarterbacks that beat you. You lost to the top two guys, at least everyone's putting them as the top two guys ever play the position. So, you know, it's not that bad of a thing.
Who was it, TJ, that referred to him as like the Jerry Sloan? And it was somebody who did a deep dive into when Jerry Sloan was the head coach.
Was it Orlovsky?
And you two can check out Dan Orlovsky on the Rich Eisen Show. Go to the YouTube archives, check out that interview. It was excellent. But yeah, he pulled out the Jerry Sloan, and I just remember covering the Jazz whenever they'd come to town or when I went to Salt Lake, especially playoffs. There was that just feeling of, you know, you'd watch Stockton and Malone, but you had Shaq and Kobe and Rick and Derek and all these guys. And it was that eventuality for Jerry Sloan where he just looks sick at the end of every game, much like Rich looked yesterday. But, you know, it was just so funny that he would pull out Jerry Sloan.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not like Jerry Sloan wasn't a great coach, one of the best ever, because he was. He just happened to live in the era of Phil Jackson, much like, you know, a lot of the NFL coaches, they lived in the era of Belichick. You know, it's not that you're doing a bad job, it's that you're going up against something that's truly special and, you know, generational, and that's kind of where these coaches found themselves, the positions that they were in.
Good thing we've got Howard Beck coming on next. We'll go just keep steamrolling through the hoops, and we'll make all these comparisons as we go. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Howard Beck joins us here on The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Let's talk about DoorDash, people. We are a huge DoorDash family in my household. As a matter of fact, my wife loves DoorDash so much, she almost named one of our kids Door and the other one Dash. I'm serious. We got everything DoorDash to the house. Kind of like what we saw during the big game, right? DoorDash went all out for game day and DoorDash stuff from all the ads to one lucky winner. Cars, snacks, even tax software. What a football game that was, for sure. It was one heck of a delivery for the winning team. And whatever watch party or anything party you've got coming up, get it delivered to DoorDash. You're going to love it. We sure do in my house. Football season may be over, but we are still in the thick of basketball games, the school year, and let's face it, winter. I could think of a million reasons daily to order DoorDash. So hop on the app and make your day a little easier. Get dinner for tonight, groceries for the week, or a consolation prize for your sad friends in San Francisco. All on DoorDash. DoorDash, your door to more. Head to the DoorDash app to get everything you need delivered.
Good to see you, Shaquille O'Neal. How are you, sir?
Before we get started.
Yes.
If I take this home, will I get arrested?
The Vince Lombardi trophy?
Is this the real one?
That's the real one. That's a real Vince Lombardi trophy. Sure. I don't know if that's the one that's going to be given to the Rams and the Patriots this weekend, but that is a real... You want to lift it?
Well, if I lift it, I want to take it home.
No, if you... Well... Then I think we're at a crossroads here.
Actually, we're not at a crossroads. Let me tell you why.
Okay, sure.
I'm not a lawyer, but I watch a lot of law shows.
Okay.
I got about 50 witnesses that seen me hit my head on your set.
Oh.
So if you just give me this, I'll let bygones be bygones.
So it's a liability issue for me
yeah.
that turns into an even worse liability issue.
I don't want to have to call it the Shaq Eisen show.
I know that.
All you got to do is just give me this, and I'll put it next to mine. This is beautiful.
I'm doing the math in my head as to how much you'd be suing me for personal liability as to how much this trophy costs, which I've been told is around $22,000.
Well, I'll be suing you for
$23,000. You want to lift it?
No, I don't want to touch it.
Okay, you sure you don't want to touch that?
Bad luck.
Bad luck for you or for...
No, to touch the trophy when you don't earn it.
I like that.
Yeah, my father used to always...
Are you serious?
Yeah, he always used to... Because, you know, like when you're a kid, you get the trophy from a local trophy shop.
Sure.
He'd be like, if you listen to me, guys, you get this. You want to touch it? Don't touch it. It's bad luck. You got to earn it.
Right.
So that's why, like, you know how, like, in the NBA, when you win the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference, they give you those little trophies? Yeah. I never touched it.
Never.
I never touched it, and I never celebrated.
I remember Phil did that, too, right? Yeah. Didn't you, like, when you guys won the Western Conference Finals of one of the many times you did?
Yeah, I never touched it. I never looked at it, never celebrated. This is beautiful, though.
It's a beautiful trophy. Yeah.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. He is on the IR, taking off the rest of the week. Andrew Siciliano will be in later on. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting back at the show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger's got the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Howard Beck joins me now from The Ringer, my old friend from the Lakers beat days. Great to see you again, Howard. Never thought I'd spend Valentine's Day with you, but here we are.
Great to see you as well. Happy Valentine's Day, and pass along my best to Rich, of course.
Oh, I sure will. Let's get right into it and talk about the article that you've got up on The Ringer today, looking ahead post-trade deadline and looking ahead at the rest of the season. What are you foretelling?
Yeah, so the trade deadline last week, by a lot of measures, was kind of a dud. Now, there were a flurry of deals in the last 24 hours, but it was mostly second-tier players and a lot of second-round picks and just reshuffling the deck and, you know, people getting their salary cap in order, that kind of stuff. Not a lot of sizzle, and that always disappoints fans. So we were trying to spin it forward a little. So my piece on theringer.com today is about speculation season, which is all the GMs in the league, Susie, are now sitting back and going, okay, well, who can we get this summer when the blockbusters usually happen? Because it's hard to make the scale of that kind of move midseason. You usually have to wait till the summer when there's just a lot more room to maneuver. So that may mean, first of all, that teams are looking at LeBron James going, huh, any chance that he breaks three from the Lakers if he's discontented there? If he does, would they put Anthony Davis on the market? So it's more about questions and speculation than it is about any definitive answers. But along the way, some of the intel I got just in talking to people around the league, everybody kind of expects that the Hawks are moving either DeJounte Murray or potentially even Trae Young. And there's a lot of heat, I feel like, around Trae in particular. And so that's something to keep an eye on. But just across the league, like it's always in today's NBA, who's the next disillusioned star to ask out, right? We've seen Harden do it multiple times. Kevin Durant do it multiple times. Kyrie Irving, he's another one that teams will keep an eye on in the event that the Luka-Kyrie partnership doesn't bear enough fruit in the postseason. So it's just kind of, you know, ruminating on all these possibilities.
What about the rumor that came out, the sources saying that the Warriors had made feelers for LeBron with the, I think it was Draymond Green had said, go ahead and do this, but that would reunite, or sorry, not unite, it would just unite Curry and LeBron. And I'm wondering, was there any weight to this, or was this just kind of like a feeler out there?
Yeah, a very titillating report from ESPN this morning about that. You know, it's a call, and calls happen all the time. So this is not to discount or in any way diminish the report. It's great stuff, really interesting. The part that I'm not surprised about and that I don't think anybody should be is that these are the conversations you are obligated to have in this league. It also noted that Daryl Morey, the Philadelphia 76ers GM, who going all the way back to his Houston Rockets days, turns over every rock, right? Like, not surprising that he made an inquiry about the possibility of, hey, would LeBron be available? It's part of the job, and the bolder GMs, and certainly the ones in a position to do so, are going to ask because hey, if LeBron did want out for any reason, you know, who wouldn't want to land with Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid in Philly? Like, among the places you could go to pursue another championship, that's a logical place. The Warriors and Lakers have the same problem right now, right? Now, LeBron's older than Steph Curry, but the Lakers and Warriors both have a problem with aging cores, aging stars. And yeah, could they have solved each other's problem, or at least in this case, the Lakers solving the Warriors' problem more so? I don't know. There was no information in that story about who would have gone back, because, you know, it never got to that stage, right? It wasn't a negotiation. It was just a question. Hey, any chance you guys would do this? No? Okay. All right. We'll go back to the season and see what we can do.
And I feel like at this point, LeBron's future really depends on his kid. It seems like he's kind of made it very clear that he wants to play with his son. I mean, so who knows?
Has.
I mean,
yeah, no, Susie, that goes back like years, back to when Bronny Jr. was like 8 years old or something. I can't remember when we first started having these conversations or when LeBron first alluded to this this desire of his to one day play with Bronny in the NBA. And now we're on the verge of it, right? Like, it could be as soon as next season. Does that mean that a team that drafts Bronny suddenly has the inside track to sign LeBron? Like, LeBron could, here's the funny thing. LeBron has like 50 something million due to him if he picks up his option, and could get that and more if he resigns with the Lakers. He could sign anywhere he wants for the minimum if he wanted to. It's not unprecedented. I don't expect it, but and again, to be clear, I don't expect that the LeBron-Bronny thing is so important to him that he's going to somehow sacrifice and like go play in, you know, Charlotte or something just because they drafted Bronny Jr. But it's another piece of the intrigue that we have to throw into the mix this summer, where it's at least worth discussing, and we'll see how LeBron actually acts on it. Or do the Lakers find a way to just draft Bronny to keep LeBron happy? That's, you know, obviously another very likely scenario.
I mean, doesn't that seem like the far more likely scenario? The real estate's right here. His life is here. And I can't remember there being a player that teams worked harder to keep happy.
Yeah, and yet LeBron, you know, like clockwork, every 4 years for the first, you know, or for a period of time, there was changing teams, right? Cleveland to Miami, Miami back to Cleveland, Cleveland to L.A. I think everybody, I certainly have thought from the moment that LeBron picked L.A. and the Lakers, that that's where he would finish his career and that's where he would retire. And if I had to bet, that's still what I believe will happen. But LeBron has surprised us all before. And, you know, so much in the NBA, especially when you are a player of LeBron's caliber or a team of the Lakers' legacy, these are entities where, like, there's only championships and there is nothing else. The Lakers feel that way. LeBron feels that way. The playoffs mean everything for a team like the Lakers. Where do they finish? And if he feels like there's enough promise there, and if there are conversations with Rob Pelinka in the front office about what else they plan to do this summer to strengthen them, those are the things that go a long way toward staying. But I also think, to your point, Susie, yeah, I think LeBron's happy in LA. His family's happy there. It seems like a stretch to think that he's going to like go bounce around at age 40 in December. He'll be 40. I don't see that happening unless things really ended badly this season.
Yeah, I don't see it happening at all. Howard Beck from The Ringer joins us here on The Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. Jason Tatum, how good is he?
Tatum's phenomenal. So he was here in Brooklyn last night, beating up on the Nets in my backyard. Tatum has been fantastic. The thing for the Celtics is, like, no one has had any doubts for some time about whether Jason Tatum is all NBA, all MVP caliber star, a guy who can obviously carry your team very deep. They went to the finals 2 years ago. The question about the Celtics and about Tatum and Jaylen Brown as a tandem has always been, what are they going to do in crunch time? Because that's when sometimes their judgment has been a little suspect, or their playmaking has been a little bit faulty, the decision-making. And so that's the evolution that they need to have. On the other hand, look, just personnel-wise, the pickup of Kristaps Porzingis, who's out right now banged up, happens a lot with Porzingis, but he has lent a whole other dimension to that team. The Celtics are far and away the favorites to win the East, and I think the favorites to win the championship at this stage. And so, you know, how we feel about Tatum, how we talk about Tatum, per usual, will depend a lot about whether he can deliver in the postseason and get these guys back to June at a minimum and maybe even win a championship.
What's your impression on how well Doc Rivers is meshing with the Bucks?
It's a great question. Obviously, the record doesn't show or suggest that things are going great so far. But that team was a little wonky even before he got there. And yes, I know the record was great. But, you know, there's a reason that they threw Adrian Griffin overboard when they did, despite that record. They just didn't have the long-term faith that Griffin was going to be the guy to make the right decisions in the postseason. A new coach comes in, even a coach of Doc's caliber, you know, it's a different voice, a different philosophy, different style. He's got to learn these players. They have to learn him. I'm not surprised it's going to be a little bit bumpy, and they've had other bumpy stretches this season anyway. So I think it's at least a little bit alarming. That's fair, considering the Bucks have the highest of expectations, but I wouldn't overreact just yet.
And let me ask you this. What are we not talking about? Who are we not talking about that we should be talking about?
Probably the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, they're having what will probably be their best season, their best non-LeBron season, maybe in franchise history, and certainly in the last 30 years. They've been the hottest team in the NBA over the last month or so. They play phenomenal defense. The offense has really started to click. The concern I think they always had when they got Donovan Mitchell was meshing Mitchell with Darius Garland, and figuring out the Jared Allen, Evan Mobley thing has been a challenge. But they have, with some of those guys out this season, they found a formula that works. Those guys came back. They're healthy now. They're at full strength. And they just keep chugging along. Now, I don't think anybody's expecting the Cavs are going to, like, knock off the Celtics, make the finals, or that they're a threat to win the championship. But they're not that either right now. Like, they're really, really good. And the space behind the Celtics in the East is kind of wide open, right? Embiid is out for at least the time being. The Bucks, as we just discussed, are kind of wonky. The Knicks are really banged up. There's a lot of teams vying for number two and to try to be the team that presumably will face the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Cavs are as strong a candidate as any right now, and that's the one I think probably no one's talking about.
Chris?
Hey, Howard. Chris, how you doing, bud?
What's up, Chris?
Two teams in the West that are starting to pick up steam, the Warriors and the Mavericks. Who do you like? What do you like about both these teams? Can they make a run and really challenge the top of the West?
It's funny because I think logic says to pick the Mavs between the two of those, but I'm not entirely convinced myself that the Luka Kyrie thing is the right way. It feels like they're just like taking turns a lot still as a partnership, and it's, you know, they haven't been together that long, but I don't fully trust that. And I do tend to have a bias toward the team that has the track record and that has Steph Curry and that has still a little bit of that allure and that mystique of a dynasty, right? Like, we see it over and over again. Just when we want to write them off, you have another game like Steph had last Saturday, which, you know, was incredible in that shot. And they've caught a little bit of traction again here with Draymond back for the last few weeks. And some of their young guys are starting to pop. Like, I think there's still some life left in the Warriors. I'm not saying they're going to make a run to the finals necessarily this spring, but of the two of them, them and Dallas, I trust the Warriors more.
What do you make of the scoring? I mean, there was that one week where we had 260s and 270s. Is it good for the game? Is someone going to get 80 this year? Like, what has been your read on all of that?
It's really interesting. You know, we strain in this league all the time, media and fans do, to try to make these comparisons when we talk about the GOAT, or we're talking about, you know, the 73 win Warriors team versus the 72 win Bulls, or all these comparisons across the eras are inherently fraught because the NBA, I think more than the other sports, evolves so much. The pace of the game, the style of the game, and the tempo right now, the pace of today's NBA game is so high by historic standards, plus the reliance now on the three-point shot, it has just spiked scores, and it has spiked individuals, because we're also in an era where we have what has been referred to as heliocentrism, right? You take your best player, and you make him the center of your universe, right? And you just say, do everything. And so you have the ball in your hands more often and more opportunities to get 60 or 70. So it's hard to wrap your head around. And I do think it's kind of warping our historical perspective on the league a little bit statistically, but it's also a blast to watch. I mean, I don't think anybody's complaining in the moment.
No, absolutely not. And it does feel like Luka's kind of the guy, right? Who could get an 80-point game this year?
I mean, he is the epitome of heliocentrism right now, Luka. James Harden previously during his Houston days especially, where every single Mavericks possession, it feels like, even though they have Kyrie Irving there, who could do a lot of amazing things with the ball in his hands, Luka controls that offense, it seems like 99% of the time. It's either, you know, shooting or passing. And he's also, yes, very, very skilled and can score in a variety of ways. And yeah, like if someone's going to threaten 80, it could be him. But, you know, maybe it's Donovan Mitchell. Maybe it's, you know, eventually Anthony Edwards. Like there's a lot of really talented scorers in the league right now. You combine that with, you know, the pace of the game and how many opportunities they get, the 3-point shot, getting hot for a night. It seems like almost anything is possible, but I'm going to just say, no, I don't think Wilt's 100 is ever going to get touched.
Okay. I mean, heliocentrism is like the antithesis of the triangle. I mean, poor Phil Jackson. TJ, what do you have?
Well, I was just going to say, hey, Howard, TJ here. Heliocentrism, we used to have a segment here called Big Word Alert, where Rich would dig into his bag and pull out a word we didn't know. That would have been one of them. Look, I got one question, two parts. I'm a huge Sixers fan as well as a Clippers fan, and it's been my dream since 99 for those two to meet in a championship. So first things first. You know anything about Embiid, what's going on with his recovery, and what are your thoughts about the Clippers and how they're doing this year? And Howard, just looking to your crystal ball, am I ever going to see this matchup in the finals?
Sixers-Clippers?
Yes.
It doesn't seem far-fetched. Probably not this year.
I just mean in my lifetime, Howard.
In your lifetime. Well, the problem is that the window for the Clippers feels, you know, kind of... I don't even want to say the window is small. It's more like the window is like jagged and broken and you never know when it's just going to like fall on you. Yeah. You know, Kawhi Leonard, you know, has gotten through most of the season healthy and now suddenly he is a little banged up. What was it? A hamstring, I think they said. So, you know, they've got to stay healthy. They're going to keep these three together, I think, for the foreseeable future. Obviously, moving into a new arena next fall, I think we'll see Kawhi, Paul George, and James Harden together for a bit. But they're all up there in years and a lot of miles on them, and we know the injury histories. But the Clippers have a window, and they're legit. They can make the finals this year. There's no question if they stay healthy. The Sixers, the Embiid thing is really interesting, right? Because the Sixers are kind of messing around. You know, we were just joking around about big words and heliocentrism. The language kind of matters to me as a writer for my career. So when the Sixers are saying things like Embiid has a flap, but it's not a tear, he's having a procedure, but it's not a surgery. Guys, come on, let's be a little more honest with our, you know, with our injury reporting on one of the most important players in the league, the reigning MVP. It's unclear to me just how serious this is. The Sixers and Embiid's camp, I think, have intentionally kept this obscure. And I, you know, there are some rumblings around the league. I've heard people say like they don't think Embiid's coming back this spring at all. The Sixers, everything I've heard from them is the absolutely the opposite of that. And listen, the signals they were sending last week, picking up Buddy Hield at the trade deadline, signing Kyle Lowry after he got bought out, like those are indications that you expect your superstar back. Yeah. So I think Embiid will be back. Is it back in time to kind of get back in game shape for the playoffs? Like, what's he going to look like in late April? I don't know, but I expect we'll see Embiid. And I like the moves that the Sixers made over the last 5 days.
Okay. I got to ask you, Howard, as a girl mom of a hooper, I love the Sabrina Ionesco Steph Curry challenge coming up. What are you hearing about that? And what's the interest level like? This is so revolutionary.
I love that they're doing this in part just because, just not to be negative here, but like the NBA really does need to find new ways to spark more interest in All-Star Weekend. It's all gotten a little bit stale. The dunk contest feels like it's on life support again. Like, shout out to Mac McClung for reviving it, but like they're having to import a G League player to like make the dunk contest feel good. So Steph versus Sabrina, like I love any new wrinkle that they're going to add. If people want to get into the gender aspect of it, like, fine. Like, I'm not a big battle of the sexes person. Like, I just think it's fun that, two of the greatest shooters of all time from their respective leagues are going to go head to head. It'll be fun. We haven't seen anything quite like this. And they're both great personalities too. They're going to make it fun. I think it'll probably be one of the highlights of All-Star Weekend.
I don't even think it's about the battle of the sexes. I just think it's great that we're talking about women hoopers. I mean, with Caitlin Clark and with Sabrina, yeah. I just think changing the dynamic, and it really does show you how many more people are tuning into women's sports. So it's less, to me, battle of the sexes and more just exciting to see. It's just great for girls to go out there and see someone representing them at something so big like the All-Star Game. All right, before I let you go, Shaq's jersey was retired in Orlando, and a lot of people are wondering why they did that. It seems to me like, what do you mean, why not? It's a great opportunity to get butts in the seats, but what was your impression of it?
I mean, Susie, you and I both know, having covered Shaq for years in L.A., like, his relationship with Orlando was fraught, to say the least. He once referred to Orlando as a dried-up pond. every trip the Lakers made to Orlando during my 7 years on the beat, that was always, you know, that was, you know, it wasn't like LeBron back to Cleveland levels of vitriol, but it was pretty intense. They did not really like Shaq after he left them behind and dumped on their city. So, listen, time heals all wounds, all that stuff. I love that they did this. I understand he was only there for 4 years. I understand that when he left in a way that was you know, very contentious, at least for Orlando fans. But I hate to say it this way, the Magic don't have a ton else to celebrate, and Shaq is a really big and really important part of their history. And I think it's the right thing to do to, you know, let time heal the wounds and honor, you know, the best player in your franchise's history. No, he didn't deliver you a championship. No, he didn't stay there for the duration of his career. But his importance matters. And I think just healing that wound matters too. Like, I like seeing that come back together. It's still the same ownership group. You know, none of the same people running the show at the basketball level. But I think it's good for the game. It's good for Shaq. It's good for the Magic. I don't think there's anything to really pick apart here.
Oh, I mean, I remember when I was at SportsCenter when this happened, suddenly you're cutting Magic highlights. You know what I mean? You're talking about the Magic. It just seems to be like a total no-brainer. Let me think. I can get Shaq in the arena or not.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to make that phone call.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a great PR move. It's a great celebration. It's great for your fans. And again, like, look, this is a good time to do it too, right? Because it's not Shaq coming back at a time when the Magic are, you know, now, you know, still a perennial lottery team with no hope. Like, they've got two really promising young players in Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner. Like, they're on the rise again. They're a team with a lot of hope and intrigue. They're moving in the right direction. And so, like, it's the right time. It's just, it's the right time. And I think it was good for Magic fans to be able to also kind of, like, remember this really vital part of their history when, for a time, they were the most exciting team in the NBA.
Oh, my God. Remember when everything was Penny Hardaway? I mean, forget about it. It was...
Yeah.
Howard, thanks again. It's great to see you again. Hope to have you on next time I'm back in the chair.
Absolutely. Great to see you, Susie.
Take care. That's Howard Beck of The Ringer, old buddy. Used to work the Lakers beat with him all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I spent more time with Howard for years than I spent with Rich, but that's a whole different show.
Well, you made Rich chase you for a few years, right? So
anyway, when we come back...
Wow. Oh, just a quick
when
transition.
We come back, Kurt Warner ahead. The greatest underdog of all time when we come back. Guys, it's Valentine's Day. Get out there, order those flowers, or you might be asking for it.
America starts the day with America in the Morning. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather. Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
In New York, I'm Sue Aller.
I'm Charles Tillotesma.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Clayton Neville.
I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
On the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, co-host David Green and Rob Abasolo interview real estate investors and entrepreneurs about successes, failures, and hard-earned lessons. Joined by author Dave Meyer.
Who wrote a book?
I did write a book.
It seems like you're coming out with a book every 4 minutes.
You are one to talk. You've released 2 books this year. I've done half as many as you.
It is more about strategy than it is about just finding whatever the new buzzword happens to be.
Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Last time you were here, you said, you know what? There's a couple of Billy Wyatt baseball bats that exist. I've got one, and I want to send it to you.
Well, you told me your wife liked the movie. That's where it started.
Well, she, yes. Well, I mean, look, to me, most people love Stealing Home, if not everybody. It's a universally loved film, and a lot of women really fell in love, not just with the movie, but with you. And I think my wife might have been one of those.
Well, Rich, the last thing I do is walk around trying to give away Billy Wyatt baseball bats. So, okay,
I know, which is very appreciative. Here it is. I'd like to hand it to you.
There to do what?
Just to hold it and say, okay. You know, basically, and just to put a Billy Wyatt baseball bat back in your hands. What are your memories of
I remember that there are only 12 of these made.
Okay.
And like I said, I had a couple. And now I have one.
Well, I'm honored. I'm honored that you gave one away.
This is yours.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'd like to sign it. But
sure.
Why do you think the movie resonated and still does?
You know, I only know from being an actor and knowing the two guys, Will Aldous and Steve Campman, who wrote, produced, and also directed, co-directed that that movie. And I just know that it was a script that hit me like it hit everybody who was in that movie, and we all tested for it, including Jody. I mean, everybody did, and I just think it was one of those movies you do because you love the material. I mean, it was a tough shoot. We all worked hard. We all carried lights and did everything else we had to do to make it happen.
No kidding. Jodie Foster was carrying lights.
Yeah, she was part of it. It was all for one. Really a team effort, and it's one of those movies that, you know, good, bad, people like it, don't like it, whatever. I just am proud to be part of that experience.
And universally loved.
That's nice to know.
It really is.
Welcome back to this Valentine's Day edition of The Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich. Kurt Warner will be joining us at the top of the next hour. That'll be a great interview. Looking forward to being with him. Guys, let's talk about DeShaun Foster being named the head coach of UCLA football.
How awesome is that?
I'm obsessed and so happy because I covered him for his entirety at UCLA, and it makes my heart so happy on Valentine's Day to be able to roll some sound from him. Let's hear first from Martin Jarman, who is the UCLA AD, talking about what it's going to mean to have DeShaun Foster coming back to UCLA.
We want somebody that wants to be a Bruin. Well, we didn't get somebody that wants to be a Bruin. We got a Bruin. Come on out, coach. Your new head coach.
And for those of you who are listening on the radio, I mean, he just got just absolutely surrounded with so much love from every player who came off the bench, who came off every seat, just to hug this guy. It means so much to him, and it shows you how much these players believe in him. Let's hear now from DeShaun Foster.
I've always dreamed about being a head coach and being at UCLA and being the head coach here at UCLA. You guys have no idea. Just we have trust. I tell you, it's something I built for, y'all. I can do this. All right, I'm gonna put all my passion into this. I'm here for these boys. I've been here for them. Okay, I've been here for them. I'm gonna get this team playing hard. My three pillars: discipline, respect, and enthusiasm. You're going to see it. You're going to feel it. All right? We're going to get this Rose Bowl back to how it needs to be. We're in L.A. We are UCLA. This is a real university. This isn't a part-time school. We win banners in every sport. We can do. I just got to get football back. I promise you I'm the man to do this. I know I might not have the experience that certain other coaches have had, but I'm guaranteeing you that I am prepared for this job. I interviewed just like everybody else did. They came back with the best candidate.
Oh, I just love it. I mean, look, his running backs get drafted. He is a great coach. And I don't think you need to have somebody with a long resume. You'd see that in the NFL all the time now, so why have it here? But I remember when he was playing and he broke his wrist. I think it was his wrist or his hand. And this is the Bob Toledo era, of course. And they were going to be great. And he played through the pain. He played with the cast. And he had a fraught relationship with Toledo. It wasn't smooth sailing all the time. Al Borges was the offensive coordinator at the time. And I just think that no one deserves a chance to lead men more than Deshaun Foster. I'm so psyched to see him there. It was a beautiful moment. I mean, he was tearing up. And if you're a mom and you're seeing this and you're seeing the passion that he's going to be coaching with, I think you give some thought to sending your kid there to UCLA. I sure hope so.
Yeah, and you know, it was great to meet him a few months ago. It was June, I believe, June, July, when he came in and you were in the chair, and he just, there was something about him when you met him and you listened to him speak and you see the success that he had with the group that he was coaching, and now you would assume that that's going to carry over for the entire program, not just the running backs. You know, just big congratulations to him and Martin Jarmon, who's also a friend of the show, and all of UCLA, really.
That's a big splash in town. I mean, USC's been getting all the headlines recently. Heisman Trophy winner. They got the big splashy new head coach. And, you know, it's a chance to take the city back, especially with a guy who's had a lot of success in their program, you know, NFL career, and to come back home. It's pretty great.
We haven't had both teams great for a while.
Yeah.
And there's nothing quite as fun as covering USC-UCLA. I got to do a bunch of those games. And that was, of course, like, think about how big it was that was important in this town because the Lakers were winning. That's right, when the Angels had won. I mean, and yet people were so riveted of, obviously we had Pete Carroll, right? So, I mean, we had an incredible time for college football, but I truly believe that if anybody can bring UCLA back the way he wants to, it's going to be him. It's going to be great. And I am so thrilled. Can't wait to have him back on the show. I'm sitting in the chair in a couple weeks during the combine. I think I'm going to have to reach out to Deshaun to come down the freeway, get him in here again, because I can't wait to see what's ahead for him.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner will join us at the top of the next hour. Looking forward to talking to him. And I, like I said, I learned so much from Kurt every time I speak to him. So I can't wait to have him on. I'm curious to hear about his take on Brock Purdy and whether or not this settled some questions about him. But we've got him ahead. Looking forward to that. And we're just getting started on this Valentine's Day edition of the Rich Eisen Show. So Chris is going to scramble and try to figure out how not to screw up Valentine's Day for Sarah. And we'll let you know how that goes.
It's always a struggle.
Listen, the struggle is real.
The struggle is real.
Lots more ahead on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be here for you.
We drank a whole bottle of wine last night and watched The Bachelor. I mean, we're just living our best life.
That's exactly what you want to do to warm up for Valentine's Day.
It was great.
So Amy and I drank The Calling with Jim Nance yesterday on
What
the Football.
I had last night. Shout
you
out
had Intercept?
Shout out Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson. That's a good bottle of juice. The good news is that rather than waste the wine from The Calling, I poured it into a plastic bottle.
And
brought
home.
It home.
Oh, well done.
So I poured it into a nice
veteran
glass
move.
Last night. I texted Nance and I said, look, I just want you to know I didn't waste the juice. Mm-hmm. He's like, excellent use of transportation. And I'm not going to let that go down the drain.
Oh, why would
What are you, insane? The Calling is fantastic juice. So there you go.
This parade looks nuts, by the way. The Chiefs parade is going on right now. We're watching it on NFL Network. There was just, I couldn't figure out who it was, but just a shirtless player running down the street, going from side to side, high-fiving everyone. And there are a ton of people there, Mike.
Yeah, it's packed.
Dude, it's KC. I mean, this is a big deal.
I think they were expecting more this time around.
I want to know which are the randos that show up. Who is that?
He's running down the street throwing beads to the crowd.
What is it, Mardi Gras?
I don't know.
Well, it is Mardi Gras.
Fantastic.
Oh, there's the championship belt.
It's Fat Wednesday there. I mean, I got to tell you. Is anybody going to try to toss the Lombardi, though? That's all I want to know.
I can't believe that
happened. Please don't drop it. Yeah. Hey, I wonder if the Kelce announcements have been made yet. Jason Kelce and Travis Kelce, same team. You heard it here first on the Rich Eisen Show.